Hey, Carla. Okay, council, return to order. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay, we completed a long public hearing this morning on these items. We have amendments before us. We may have questions of staff. Let's maybe start with questions of staff. Are there any? Does anyone need folks to come up and respond to any of what we heard?
Oh, we don't have a city attorney.
Oh, I think we will. We have at least some of them in the room.
Are you posing as a city attorney today, young man?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't want that. Okay.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay, so we have the housing director here and city attorney, so questions.
Thank you. What infrastructure is there in the warehouse right now? Is there plumbing?
I think there's overhead lighting, some sort of spot heating overhead also. I don't know to what extent there's any plumbing in the building. I've not physically been in the building.
So you wouldn't be able to do any kind of permanent plumbing, so are you envisioning bringing in like FEMA-type trucks to provide showers and laundry and as well as the porta-potties?
We've looked at some of those options. Actually, the joint base, Lewis McChord, has some military vehicles that are already pre-wired for that purpose, and so we looked at buying some of those on a surplus market from the U.S. government.
And how much are they?
I can't give you a direct quote offhand, because we've seen an advertised number of $30,000 a unit for the packaged contained units, but those would have to be transported and then installed, which would be an additional cost.
Installed in what way?
They have to be hooked up to fire hydrants for water supply.
Is there a fire hydrant near?
There's fire protection on the property.
Yeah. Has a sprinkler system.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other questions for Kurt?
Kurt, the Mr. Director.
Yes.
Just to clarify, because Commissioner Saltzman in his opening remarks said this would be privately funded for the next 6 months. What is the anticipated public investment in this mass shelter?
Well, the lease rate, when it's determined by council, would likely be a public cost because the Bureau would enter into a lease agreement with the Bureau of Environmental Services. That figure is going to run anywhere from, the sounds of it, $10,000 to $30,000 a month, however the council decides. We don't expect additional costs over and above that. There will be staff time that is currently Jennifer Chang and myself that will likely be working with Mark Jolin and the Joint Office of Homeless Services to further refine the program, the service levels to be provided by the operators. Jennifer and I have been working on a draft budget. We think a shelter of this magnitude will cost between $2 and $3 million a year to operate in personnel costs. And that may be further augmented by the contributions that Mr. Williams has talked about with respect to behavioral health and medical services.
But at least for purposes of this proposal, the operating costs would be exclusively borne by the private operator?
That is our understanding.
And has the private operator indicated who they would select to actually run the shelter?
Well, what we've understood, and this goes to the deeper question of the CET application that we prepared to submit to Metro, which is very much a programming. That would be, for those people watching this, it's construction excise tax that Oregon Metro is making available on a competitive basis, and applications are due in September. That would be essentially allow us the necessary money to do the programming and design the program. The Union Gospel Mission and Right to Dream 2 have both been mentioned as essential partners in this effort. Who the actual vendors are and how many of them are to be included is yet to be determined.
What role will the Housing Bureau have in selecting a qualified entity to provide the services?
Our goal would be to set the service standards and the evaluation tool and to ensure that the city is held harmless from any risk associated with the operation. We would prefer that the Oregon Trail for Hope to actually select the operator directly themselves so that we don't have a business relationship or identity of interest with the operators. We'll set the standards and we'll measure the outcomes.
Thank you.
Other questions for Kurt?
No, I didn't have a question.
Okay.
Statement.
All right, anything else before we proceed? All right, then let's take a vote, please, on the resolution.
Mayor, we have some amendments.
Sorry, the amendments to both to the resolution and to the second item. I'm sorry, so we have to take up the amendments first. So we have a package of amendments that Commissioner Fish introduced. Let's take a vote on those, unless there's a need for any further discussion of those, and then we'll turn to Commissioner Fritz's amendment. Is that all right? All right, let's take Commissioner Fish's amendments first.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to take this chance to say that I deeply respect all the viewpoints that have been expressed today about the proposal for a temporary shelter at the location of Terminal 1. I was struck by two statements from the public, one sort of at the beginning and one towards the end. Dave Hoff, near the beginning, said, "This problem of homelessness needs a big vision." Ted Timmons, who I think was our last testifier, said, "Humanize the issue. We need to humanize the issue." And I absolutely agree. I mean, the problem of homelessness in our community is enormous. It's enormous in every city in this country. And we need to find ways to do things a little differently. And I think that the proposed vision that we're going to allow by taking a baby step, hopefully today, by authorizing a 6-month temporary lease that could at least be up and running by the wintertime, or people over the winter, is what we need to do. And I would respectfully urge, and I appreciate the diverse viewpoints of my colleagues on this matter. We're all just trying to do our jobs. You know, we're all trying to do the jobs the best way we know how to do them. And that's by listening and by taking action. As somebody said, you know, we're the ones that make the decisions, and that's true. And that's what we're doing here today. I will respectfully ask my colleagues to vote against all the amendments. I do believe that there's undue time, expense associated with the amendments, and that's why I would respectfully urge a no vote on those amendments. But I do think, as I said, I respect my colleague, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Fritz, all my colleagues, and I respect everybody who spent time here today talking to us. And I want to say that I have a deep respect for Homer Williams and him walking this gangplank, too. There's a lot of expectations on him, on us, and I think if we take the baby step of authorizing this 6-month lease, we will start making some differences. So as to the amendments, I vote no.
Novick.
I'm going to hold my comments on the broader issue until we vote on the resolution itself. I'm going to respectfully vote against the amendments. However, I do want to note that, as I think Director Krieger just suggested, the issue of the amount of the lease payment has not been determined. What the resolution itself says is no less than $10,000 a month, and will cover BS expenses. I think that we'll have a discussion about how to define expenses. I think that Director Krieger's suggestion that the amount of the lease should be informed by the offers that we get on the property, which close in a few days, I think was reasonable. And I expect for council to have further discussion about the lease amount after we've had a chance to review those offers. No.
Prince.
Commissioner Fish has done yeoman's work over the past almost 4 years to bring order to the utilities and to make sure that every single penny is spent appropriately of ratepayers' money and of general fund money. And I think I know his amendments would greatly improve the proposal. Aye.
Yes.
The amendments which I proposed were designed to protect ratepayer interests, ensure adequate notice, and provide what I would call a minimum of community oversight of this project. I regret that my colleagues at this moment have chosen to reject them. I think we're entering uncharted waters here. Respectfully, I think we're making a mistake, and I vote aye.
Yes.
I share Commissioner Fish's concern about making sure that we hold to the high ground that we've worked hard to get to. and that is we no longer spend utility money in any way that's questionable. Notice I said we no longer spend utility money in any way that's questionable. I believe in that as both a matter of principle and as a matter of law. That does not, however, mean that a bureau is entitled to the maximum possible rate of return from a general fund bureau that might be leasing its property, in my opinion. So I'm going to be very interested in returning to this question later, as Commissioner Novick noted, when we find out what the market think this property is worth. That will inform our work. And if there are legitimate expenses that a ratepayer-funded bureau, in this case the Bureau of Environmental Services, has borne that ought to be reimbursed by the general fund, then I'm going to be in favor of doing that. So I'm interested in returning to that question because we're clean on this issue as a city. I'm proud of that, and we're going to stay clean on that issue and not spend ratepayer money on housing and homelessness, as important as this priority is. We don't need to pass this amendment in order to hew to that principle, but we do need to do some careful accounting and square up as is needed later on. But I don't see that we need to adopt these amendments in order to do that. No. Okay, let's take up Commissioner Fritz's amendment then, please.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the Commissioner Fritz's amendment, but I do believe, and there is no expenditure of general fund resources other than was stated for the lease payment for the Housing Bureau from the Bureau of Environmental Services. That's the only general fund envisioned for this commitment. But I'm hesitant because this is a big vision, and we're taking it in baby steps. I'm hesitant to sort of lock us in and tie our hands prospectively. So I respectfully vote no.
Novick.
No.
Fritz.
This amendment merely says that no general fund money shall be spent on improvements or operations of the temporary shelter. I think that's what I just heard, so I don't understand why my colleagues are voting against it. I vote aye.
Fish?
Well, I'm going to support this amendment, but I will also hold my colleague to his word that the private sector will cover the costs of the shelter. That was in his opening statement. And it seemed to me that it is ironic here that it's usually Commissioner Saltzman who brings these kinds of amendments to bring clarity about how we use general fund dollars. But if the council thinks, Dan, in terms of the comments you've made in the record, they're so clear we don't need the amendment, so be it. But I support the amendment. Aye.
Hales.
No. Okay. And on the resolution itself?
Saltzman?
I think I've made my opening statement on the First Amendment vote. So I just want to say, again, how much work remains ahead of us. We have to iron out a use agreement with Haven Trail of Hope, and much work remains to be done, and it'll be done in the full light of day, and the public will have the chance to see each step of the way as we develop this relationship and develop a much-needed, at least temporary shelter capacity that will get us through the winter. And I think this is a good step, and I thank my colleagues for the deliberations today, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
I really appreciate everyone's thoughtful testimony today, and I have to say that I find myself today in much the same position I was in some months ago when we voted on reciting the Right to Dream 2. At that time, folks from the Central East Side Industrial District had some, I thought, very cogent arguments for why that site was inappropriate. At the time, Commissioner Fish was persuaded of those arguments and voted no. And I think I said at the time that I agree this is a tough choice. I think there's good arguments against using this site. But my colleagues, Commissioner Fritz and the mayor, had spent many, many months before that looking for alternate sites, and they concluded that that was the best one. So I voted yes. I'm in a similar situation here. I think that there are excellent arguments, including, of course, the fact that it is an industrial site that would like to be used for industrial purposes, against siting a facility at Terminal 1. But I also think there are better arguments against allowing people to continue to sleep in the street. I realize people have questions about Mr. Williams and his colleagues' ability to actually motivate the resources to make this happen, and that's a discussion that he's going to have with the Housing Bureau in the coming weeks. I think it's important to give Mr. Williams and the Housing Bureau a chance to make this happen, a chance to see an expansion of our capacity to help homeless people with private money. And the with private money thing is important. And I also do think there is some urgency because it would be nice if we actually had a facility up and running before the cold weather hits. I've heard a lot of people say, well, there must be a bunch of other sites. And the Mercury, I think, recently published a list of 120 sites that the mayor has looked at over the, and the Housing Bureau have looked at in the past year. And I actually called Josh Alpert over the weekend, and I figured he's no longer with the city, he can speak freely, and asked him, are there better sites than Terminal 1 for homeless shelters that we know were better, but we dismissed them for political reasons? And he said, no. We went through a lot of sites. Terminal 1 was actually always high on our list. I've heard people talk about Wapato, and actually I have to tell you, I have some personal history with Wapato, which makes me really wish that there was some constructive use to which it should be put. I happened to be working for Diane Lynn some 15 years ago, and I advised her not to build it because I didn't think that would have the money to operate it. And I didn't succeed. It's one of my major public policy failures in the state of Oregon. So I would like there to be a constructive use of that site, and I realize that there are objections to Wapato, it's too far away, et cetera, but it was actually built for people to live in. So if somebody comes to us in the next few weeks and says, we have a plan for operating Wapato, we've raised the money to do it, we've got at least as good a plan for operating Wapato as Homer Williams has for operating Terminal 1, and the county has bought into it, and since we're really opposed to Terminal 1, we'll only do Wapato if Terminal 1 doesn't happen, I would be open to listening to that argument. I have suggested looking into Memorial Coliseum, which is an underutilized city asset, as a homeless shelter. It's fairly centrally located, has transit, bathrooms, showers, et cetera. It's my understanding that the city has had discussions with the Trailblazers that sort of have the operating rights to that facility about that, and the Blazers were willing to listen, but given their contractual obligations to other users, that's not something that could happen soon. If somebody who is opposed to using Terminal 1 has a different conversation with the Blazers and comes forward with the resources to make that operate instead of Terminal 1, again, I'd be interested in hearing that proposal. I think that it's important to move forward today, understanding that we don't have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, in order to give Mr. Williams and the Housing Bureau an opportunity to make something happen before the cold weather hits. It may be that they won't succeed, but I don't want to stand in the way of giving them that opportunity, and because summer is waning, I think it is important to act today. As I said before, I think that the issue of the lease amount is something that needs further discussion. Again, I really, really appreciate everybody's testimony, and I'm not voting yes because I think the arguments against using Terminal 1 are bad arguments. I'm voting yes because I think that we are not in the position in the state of homeless emergency to look a gift horse in the mouth. So I vote aye.
Fritz.
I have been working with Right to Dream 2 for over 2 years to find a new spot for them, and we found one, and we had a public hearing on it. We have had lots of process. We got a zoning confirmation letter. We know that the property is suitable for the proposed use. And then since we got that decided, we've been working with the community, the houseless community, to see what they want on the property. And that's one of the reasons it's taking a long time. We are looking at how do we provide showers and bathroom facilities to people living in the Central East Side who maybe there isn't room for it right to Dream 2. And so I know that there's a lot of planning and programming that needs to happen and permits to get something like this cited, even if we wanted to just go right ahead and not consult with people in the houseless community. But I think we should. Nothing about us without us. There are, and as part of that search for the Right to Dream 2 property, I personally looked at dozens of properties. I suggested one to Commissioner Saltzman last week that we rejected for Right to Dream 2 because the cost was $100,000 a year, and Right to Dream didn't want to use their trust for something that would be temporary. So it's less expensive than the proposed use at Terminal 1. There's also another site further down on NATO that's not river-dependent that we looked at, which, again, yes, it doesn't take there isn't room for 400 people, but there's certainly room for some of the self-organized and appropriately sized groups that we want to encourage and facilitate. And I'm grateful to the people living outside at Right to Dream 2 and those at Hazelnut Grove who have shown that that model works. We've heard about the place in Texas where it doesn't work to have hundreds of people all together. I want to read something that Israel Baer of Street Roots wrote in this week's copy. He wasn't referencing this particular site, so these are, I want to read it as my commentary as well as his. His title is, "Homelessness Isn't a Media Event, It's Real Life." It sucks to be homeless. Some people think it's easy in Portland. They are wrong. Nobody is choosing to be homeless because they don't want to go to a shelter. Seriously, would you? Living in a shelter stinks, literally. It's uncomfortable. It's loud. It's overwhelming to someone with a trauma or living with a mental illness. Want to be able to sleep with the one you love? Too bad. Need some time alone to think? Sorry. Want to be not treated like a child or you're in jail? Good luck. Israel says, if I were currently homeless, I would choose living outdoors over living in a shelter. Hands down. That doesn't mean I would be choosing to be homeless. Of course, shelters are needed for our most vulnerable and others who want to access shelter. But to think that an individual is choosing to be homeless is ridiculous. Homelessness exists due to the lack of housing in our community, rising rents, and the lack of federal resources. 2,000 people didn't just decide to be homeless just to create a media spectacle or piss off the larger community. People are sleeping on our streets are human beings. They are our fellow human beings struggling to maintain in a world gone mad, a world without a safe place to call home. It's as simple as that. If we are going to get $100 million from private contributors, we should be putting it into ongoing housing and not into a mass shelter. I worked at for 22 years at OHSU on inpatient psychiatry. We had 20 people living there and 5 staff to take care of us, plus security constantly on call. To think that this kind of a mass shelter on a contaminated place that the DEQ has said is not safe for residential use, never mind for people living in tents, is preposterous, as Jesse Sponberg said. Then we get to the zoning code issue. The property is zoned river industrial. It's valuable industrial land that will create family wage jobs if we allow it to be sold and developed and recoup the ratepayers' investment. In the recent comprehensive plan debates, industrial land supply was one of the biggest sticking points. Taking 14 acres out of the industrial land supply will throw the delicate balance out of alignment, endangering West Hayden Island and the golf course compromise. Our zoning code prohibits mass shelters in industrial zones. When Title 15 was amended to allow mass shelters as temporary activities, our ordinance declaring a housing emergency spoke only of waiving the zoning code for siting two-day storage units. And as I have mentioned, there's one specific part of the zoning code that the Title 15 changes did not take out, were 33-296-040, that prohibits any kind of permanent improvements. And yet permanent improvements are just what 400 people are going to need. The concept of waiting to use a FEMA shower with so many other people, it might be able to do it for a few days after the big one, but for 6 months over the winter, this is not like what Mayor Hales did at the Sears shelter over last winter, where a neighborhood in Southwest did in fact come together and recognize that these are our fellow human beings. And if the site moves forward, I hope that the folks we've heard from in nearby housing will recognize that, as was noted, most people who live outside are not dangerous. Most people outside are very vulnerable. And that's one of the reasons I think this is a very, very bad idea, because vulnerable people should not be put all together in large warehouses. I could go on, but this is not the right approach. I have been working so hard to find solutions, and I'm disappointed that so much money is going to be put into this temporary thing, which is going to put people more at risk. No.
I want to begin by thanking everyone that took
a few hours out of their day to come testify and share their views with us. It is a privilege to occupy this job as a city commissioner, and it is a special privilege on days like this where we have these kinds of discussions, and I think on balance they bring out the best. Here's what I heard and what I learned today. From the community, I learned that there's overwhelming opposition to this concept. And what struck me and made this different from other debates we've had is that it was a chorus. We heard from housing activists, people in the trenches, environmentalists, planners, neighbors, labor leaders, business leaders. We heard from the great broad spectrum of Portland. And with a couple of exceptions, they were united in their opposition to this ill-conceived idea. And I heard them clearly. So let me tell you what I learned from the sponsors as I listened as carefully as I could throughout this day. Here's what I learned about the plan. Here's what I learned about the funding, both public and private. Here's what I learned about the city's role in the short term and the long term. Here's what I learned about benchmarks for success and how we can judge this experiment. As you can see, I didn't learn much because very little was shared with us because we're putting the cart before the horse. You know, I usually approach these issues from a values proposition. You know, we were admonished by a number of people who testified to stop being so legalistic or so technical and remember the humanity. And so I think that's good advice. For 35 years in my adult life, I've been part of something called the housing movement. And I have never been the brightest bulb, and I have never been the most creative voice, and I have never been the source of the solution. But every day I've been inspired by people who get up committed to ending the national disgrace of homelessness and who believe that everyone has a right to a safe and decent place to call home. And it is the reason I ran for office, and it is the reason I have been proud to partner with my colleagues in the last year around this emergency to do things that prior councils have not done. But my values tell me a couple of things about how we do this work. The first is that we do our best work when we link arms and we work together. Next, I believe that the public expects from us that we lay out a vision and that we stick to a plan and that our touchstone is a long-term, cost-effective, and humane solution to this crisis. And when we declared an emergency, we did not give this council license to just make it up. I thought what we were doing was doubling down on the things that we knew worked. The proposal before us today fails my test of common sense and of humanity. It ignores the advice of the pub and the cub, our ratepayer advocates. It builds on a failed model of warehousing vulnerable people. It breaks faith with our comprehensive plan, and it sets a bad precedent. And as I mentioned before, it ignores the chorus of voices of people of goodwill who have said no to this half-baked idea. It places a prominent developer in a privileged position at the expense of everyone else who played by the rules. And it undermines the hard-won trust that we've gained with our ratepayers. I had the honor of serving with Tom Potter for about 6 months, the end of his term. He was fond of quoting the great philosopher Lewis Carroll. He said, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." one of Tom's favorite lines. Well, today, by this action, we are making a very big statement, and it is that we are lost. I don't question my colleagues' motives or their values or their commitment to the fight against homelessness, but today I question their judgment. No.
Hales.
10 months and 3 days ago, I brought to this council a proposal that we declare a state of housing emergency. And as has been mentioned, it's something that we unanimously adopted, and it was not a media event or a re-election ploy either. It was a serious commitment to a real crisis in both housing affordability for lots of people in our community, and we've heard about that again today, and we'll hear about it anytime the subject comes up because it is a crisis, and about homelessness, which our city has been struggling with for a long time, and now West Coast cities in particular are struggling with at a whole new level because of all the reasons that have been mentioned. So this is a real thing. We've committed to it, and the crisis is far from over. And I said from the beginning, and I've repeated this troika, and it's, I think, still correct, that in a state of emergency, you should see three things. You should see rapid action, you should see real money, and you should see deliberate experimentation, trying things. That's what you do in an emergency. And that's what we need to keep doing. We saw that with the Sears shelter. We opened it 45 days after we declared an emergency, and I'm very proud of the fact that my wife and I, along with some people in this room, were there with pumpkin pies on Thanksgiving Day to welcome the 200 women that lived there. So that's what we need to keep doing. Rapid action, deliberate experimentation, and real money. Now, there are some serious doubts and fears that have been expressed here today, and I take those seriously. But I want to offer some reassurance about those. One is, well, can you really do anything temporary? Does temporary always evolve to permanent? Well, don't listen to my words. Look at what we did. We opened the Sears shelter for 6 months. We told the neighborhood it would be for 6 months, and we closed it 6 months later. We opened the Peace Shelter that the Menasche family made available to us through their amazing generosity. We opened it as a temporary facility. We kept it open for a while, and then we closed it. We said we would move right to Dream 2, and construction is underway on the new site as we speak. There's a big orange machine out there digging trenches for utility lines right now. So what I want to ask of everybody, this council, the people in the community, the people that are here today, is that, yeah, there's a lot of anxiety and some division now because we are moving quickly, because we are trying things, and because we're spending real money at the city and county level. But my really earnest plea to all of us is we need to work together. We need to take good faith from each other. So when you hear us say we're doing something as an experiment, if it doesn't work, we'll stop. I hope you'll count on those words being true, because I mean them, and I think we all do. And then we need to expect that of each other, that we go into this crisis in that mode with those understandings, that we're going to try some things, that we're going to take help wherever we can get it, whether it's the Menasche family or the YIMBYs, that stood for Yes in My Backyard, who organized themselves to make sack lunches for the people living in the Sears building, or anybody else, including Mr. Williams and his partners in this venture. So this is worth a try. Doesn't mean that we sleepwalk to a bad place. It means that if this proposal comes together, that it can be run by a responsible operator in a humane way and help solve part of the problem for a while, then we're all better for that, including the people that are sleeping outside and are, frankly, very unwelcome. If there's anything I've learned in working on homelessness, it's that no good deed goes unpunished. But we should keep doing the good deeds and keep trying things. So I want to say let's keep trying to work together as a community here, even if this is a divided vote and even if this is a divided house today. Let's do the right thing. Let's make sure we do it the right way. But above all, do something. Thank you, Dan. Aye. Okay, let's move to the next item, which is the proposal to Metro with 924.
That's a non-emergency.
Oh, that's a non-emergency. Yeah. Sorry, so that passes the second reading. Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll take a momentary break, and then we'll move to our regular agenda.